Hey man, today I want to talk just for a little bit about just the heart of God, the Father heart of God. And we just want to allow the Holy Spirit to speak. This is not an in-depth study this morning. I want us to encounter him. Amen. So angels, stay close, worship team. And that's why I prayed that specifically. I want us to encounter him because I've known a lot about theologically about the Father heart of God, that I'm engrafted and adopted as a child of God for many, many years. But I want to tell you a little bit about my journey. So I don't remember what year it was, 2012, 2013-ish, somewhere around there, that I was kind of doing a little inner healing, wanting to get closer to God, wanting to encounter God. And so I did a little situation with God and prayer time with God. And I asked Jesus, I said, Jesus, well, first of all, I just prayed and said, you know, Lord, how do I see you? And I saw and I don't mean a all-out vision or anything, although those are awesome, but just in the theater of my mind. How many of you guys know we have a theater in our mind, right? The imagination. Imagination is given to us by God, amen? So I saw this mountain off in the distance, and I was over here. And this mountain was like the mountain from the Sermon on the Mount in my version of it, right? And I saw Jesus up on this mountain. And he's sitting there, like the Sermon on the Mount, and he's sitting there talking to people, teaching his amazing word, right? And I said, Jesus, what lie do I believe about you? And he said, that I'm for them. And so what happened was, I was here, Jesus up there on this mountain, and I'm telling everybody, that's Jesus, you gotta go hear the words of life. And there's people gathering, and I'm over here telling everybody to go over there. And he told me that the lie is I'm for them. And how many of you guys understand, like, wow, he is for them. So wait a minute, okay, you gotta keep going, Jesus. I gotta know that this is you speaking to my heart. I said, okay, Lord, what's the truth? And he said, the truth is, I'm for you. I'm for you. And so that was an important part of my journey. Again, I knew verses then, before and after that. But that was, how many of you guys know, that was a personal encounter with God. I mean, it's a relationship with God that we walk out. We're broken people in a fallen world. None of us have perfect parents. And so we come into this thing with hurts, with wounds, with things that separate us from this amazing, perfect love. And even if you think about it, we gotta be on guard because they were in perfect love in the garden. And they fell. So, but praise God, we don't have to fall. We don't have to sin. Amen. We have a great salvation. But that great salvation is walked out in relationship with him. Now, I would love to tell you that after that day, I was completely healed and completely whole. It was a step. Everyone say step. Yeah. But it was a great step towards what knowing that God's for me. I could always go back to that. I could always reference that in a difficult time. But how many of you guys know life happens and what's inside of us gets squeezed out? And sometimes that which was put inside of us when we were impressionable and we didn't have the development of our brain and our mind, the limbic part of our brain, of our soul, comes out of us. We have a limbic past. Limbic is just the part of, if you take your hand and you cover it like this, that's your brain, right? And the limbic part is the thumb that's kind of underneath this, and so the prefrontal cortex, I'm not a scientist, I'm just telling you what other people have told me, okay? So don't be all impressed with me. I'll mess it up, okay? But the prefrontal cortex is like, I know, I intellectualize what I should do. I read the Bible and I see how what Jesus said to be a disciple. But then all of a sudden, somebody cuts me off on the road, and all of a sudden, they're not getting the prefrontal cortex of me. They're getting the limbic system. You know what I mean? I want to chase them down, and I got some words for them, you know. You guys are looking at me like, Pastor Paul? Well, no comment, all right? I plead the fifth, but I'm just saying, it's possible. And so the limbic system is what comes out of us in those tough situations. And I just believe that God is a healer of our hearts. He can give us new memories too. He made us the first time. He made us the second time. And he can make us. I'm not saying we can be born again more than once spiritually, but our mind, will, and emotions can catch up with our spirit. And one day our body will catch up with all of it. And that's sanctification. That's salvation. So I was, well, let's go ahead and get into the word on Matthew 9. Can you guys do that one? Matthew 9, this is a good story that I just feel like God wants us to understand, and I think it's relevant even prophetically now to what Jesus was doing. Because how many of you understand, Jesus was bringing a big change. You know, if you think about the New Testament, technically we're in the church age. We're in Acts, Romans, you know, all the way through. Thank God, not all of Revelation, but, you know, one day we're going to be sitting next to his, you know, near his throne and on that, you know, the crystal glass, and we're going to have, it's amazing. So it's amazing stuff in Revelation, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are really not the new covenant, because Jesus hadn't purchased everything for us yet. It was kind of a changing of the guard. You know, he's introducing something new. And I'm not here to say that there's something that we're in different dispensation or anything different like that, but I do believe this. This has always been in my spirit for years. In Acts, it says that Jesus will be, how does it say it? He will be held in heaven until the restoration of all things. God is restoring to his church. He's restoring things that they always could have accessed in Acts. But, you know, so it's not new, but it's new. So let's look at that. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to them, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. You guys, all the way through 17, you guys have it or no? That's what? Matthew 9. All right, so Matthew 9, that's 9, it's 10. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Why would he do this? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." Everyone say physician. Physician. But those who are sick. So who needs a physician? Physician. Amen. Did the Pharisees think they were sick? No, the Pharisees thought they were well. This is a theme. Is this not a theme throughout the New Testament or throughout the Synoptic Gospels? Man, I've been talking to Stephen a lot lately because I'm using all these like big words like synoptic. I blame him, that guy. But go and learn what this means. Listen to this. Jesus is saying this. He's introducing something new at that time that we can lose, I can lose, and I won't have if I have hurts and bruises and I'm not healed by the heart of God. I'm talking about inner healing, heart healing. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Last night the Holy Spirit said, Many people in my body are known as being judgmental because they don't believe they're forgiven. The way I perceive myself, that's the way I'm going to perceive you. If I think that I have to work because I messed up, so I have to work and read my Bible a bunch and pray a whole lot and go through some serious pain before I can be forgiven and restored to the heart of the Father, then that's the way I'm going to treat you. Been there, done that, and the more you know about the word, the more we can be susceptible to it if we don't stay in what Jesus is going to say, the new wine. So you guys got it. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. 14. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" See, right away, and that's part of my story. And let me tell you something. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because like it's about motivation. It's about heart healing. You know, like you. I'll get to what I'm talking about later. But go back to verse 14, please. Do you kind of see a performance there, a comparison? Well, why do we fast but they don't fast? In other words, I'm working hard here, Jesus. Why don't they have to work so hard? I really believe the 11th hour workers, the parable of the vineyards, is critical for us. I believe prophetically it's critical for us because like Pastor Jew said, we're at the end. We're at midnight. I don't know what time it is. I'm not calling nothing. Okay. But I'm telling you, there'll be some people coming into the kingdom, and they'll be healed, set free, filled with the Spirit real quick. And those of us who have been laboring for a while, if we don't have the mind of God, then we can get the wrong mind towards them. God has every single intention of us being part. He always has elders, veterans, people, you know, it's a family. You have parents, but you also have older brothers, older sisters, newborns. You know, you got tías and tíos, you know what I mean? You got abuelas, right? You got abuelitas and, all right, I'll stop with the Spanish because that's all I know. I'm kidding. Oh, wait, we got nanas and tatas, right, brother? I got to end with that one. So we're all needed in the house. But if Tio is going local and he's jealous of the newborn, Tio, you need to go find a new place to live because you are not going to be jealous of that newborn. You're not going to be all crazy with the newborn. Why do we... All right, verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." No one, now this is it, this is key. And I feel like God is giving me some more, because I really wanted some understanding on this, and he's giving me a little bit more here. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine, everyone say new wine, into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Keep it there, please. I believe there's a new wine that we haven't even tasted of. I believe God is drawing in people, and we haven't even seen. I mean, I've had encounters with God, but I know that's nothing compared to who he is. I don't know him. I don't know him like he wants me to know him and he wants me to encounter him. And there's a hunger. There's a yearning for more. Do you guys have that? Am I in the right place? Does anybody have a desire for more of God? Because I have a disdain. That might be a hard word, a bigger word than I want to use. An anger. And we were talking about anger on Wednesday at Sozo. But maybe I don't want to throw that one at you either. You guys are like, whoa, what's up with Paul? He's angry. I have a passion. Can I say that? I don't want church as usual. I'm talking about myself. I'm not trying to be critical or negative. I want more of God myself. I want to walk in the miraculous myself. I want to fulfill what He's called me to fulfill, and not in a slavery mentality, not without this mindset that He's my Father, and I'm in a family. I'm in this family. I'm not trying to go rogue. I'm just trying to, but I'm not going to sit quietly in the corner. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to play my role just like you. You're all called in a body. That's a, you know, when a part of my story is I grew up and it was the weirdest thing. A lot of times I would be in a room and I would just feel like I didn't belong there. I'd feel invisible. I'd feel like lonely in the group, in the midst of a bunch of people. That's part of my story. It's still something that God is healing, but again, I would know, you know what I mean, that I'm called, that I'm chosen, that I'm loved, but it's that little limbic system, right? But God is a healer. Father God's a healer. And I'll tell you this story later. I'll tell you that story later. I want to say this. You can remind me. Tony, remind me. Don't forget the story, Paul. All right. Everyone, you already said new wine, old wineskins. Do they mix? No. The new wine is the incredible revelation of God that He wants to bring to the earth. And He is bringing to the earth. He said, as the waters cover the seas, so will the glory of the Lord cover the whole earth. And a lot of times in the word glory is defined as beauty. Does anybody else want to see the beauty of the Lord? He's beautiful. He's beautiful. The glory of the Lord. But look at this. If I have an old wineskin, I won't be able to contain the new wine. If I think like I used to think, if I continue to have that limbic system, if I continue to stay out of the river of God, and there's a difference because I've encountered God many times where He's anointed me or, you know, I've felt His presence, whether it's whatever, in summer camps or just, you know, in my room or whatever. But there's a difference when it's internal and it's heart work that He's doing. He wants to do heart work. I don't know. Maybe you guys are perfectly whole, and you see everybody the way Jesus sees everybody, and maybe the wrong guy is up here. I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe we all need more of the Father. Amen. But I want you to contrast what He's saying there to these Pharisees. You know, there's another story. Another time when that example is used, I desire mercy more than sacrifice. It's when Jesus' disciples go into the temple and they haven't had food. So what do? They eat the communion food. They drink the wine and they eat the bread. And what do the Pharisees do? They get all indignant. They try, if you're not careful, people will indoctrinate you with old wineskins. And they will tell you why you don't belong, and they will tell you what's wrong with you, and they will tell you how you have to work your way into the good graces of God. When in my Bible, he was being baptized, he hadn't done anything supernatural in his ministry yet, and the Father speaks from heaven. He says, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom my favor dwells." Can you say amen? Yes. That's us. We were born into the family, and God has a spirit. Can we get my first point, please? My first point is God has a heart to adopt. God has a heart to adopt. And that word adopt, for a long time, I didn't understand it. I think in our society, we struggle with it too, because sometimes we think, oh yeah, well, the biological kids, you know what I mean? You know, redheaded stepchild. They got some work to do. Well, technically, let's look at the definition of adopt. Adopt means to to take by choice. Everyone say choice. To take by choice into a relationship. I'm just kidding. Relationship. I love you guys. I gave him the notes late, so it's okay. To take by choice into a relationship. Everyone say by choice.
By choice.
Everyone say I was chosen.
I was chosen.
You can relate to that one. Amen, sister? Amen. To take by choice into a relationship. Come on, let that sink in. To take by choice, he chose me. He chose me. Come on, say that out loud. He chose me.
He chose me.
Tell him, close your eyes and tell him, say, Father, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing me. The spirit of adoption. Let's go to Romans 8, whatever the first verse was I had there. Romanos 8. For if you live, here's some powerful truth, whether we're healed or not. This is true stuff, because we can make things worse. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, how many of you guys, has anybody else experienced, for the wages of sin is death, separation from God, separation from wholeness, the opposite direction from where God wants to take us, separation from relationship. But, everyone say, but. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's a mature child of God, that he calls us to be mature children of God. For you did not receive, everyone say receive. You did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Keep it there. The spirit of bondage, again to fear. My version of that was, have I done enough for God? Have I? And now, but this is the difference. Are we supposed to do stuff for God? That's what I was going to say. I told you I'll explain it later. Yes, we're called to produce much fruit, fruit that remains. Out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. But the difference is, I do all those things. I serve because I'm whole. Because I'm loved, because I'm in the family. Can you say amen? There's a difference if you're trying to perform. If you're trying to perform to earn your value, that's contrary. Then that's the spirit of bondage. Because could we ever serve enough and do enough to really get what God already has for us? He already has us in his heart. He already sees us delightful to him. We're delightful to him. We're accepted in the beloved. And again, these are all things you can take notes, you can write them down, but spend time with God on these verses, because it's not memorizing the verse that changes you. It's letting God, that verse come. Because anytime the word of God is spoken, the Bible says in the end of Matthew, he says that he worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. He is confirming this word in your heart. It's not about my style or anything natural. It's about him and your heart. That's why it says receive. That word receive is sticking out real big to me. Receive. For years, I had a heart that I couldn't receive because I was just doing. Yeah, you ever wonder how those marathon runners or those, how they take the water? They want to go all fast, but people are giving them water. Come on, Candace, give me some water. See, I missed it. I missed Candace's water because I was running. Somehow they do it, but receive. Everyone say receive.
Receive.
Receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But you, everyone say that's me.
You.
Receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I'll just tell you that. Say it in verse 15, please. I'll just tell you, I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but I'll just say it this way anyway, because I don't know in a better way. It's harder. It's more painful. I think it's because we go against the grain to receive the spirit of adoption at first, because we're trained often to work our way into something, to measure up, to have enough knowledge, to have enough of this or that. We're trained for that. That's why they say good news travels fast, but bad news travels faster. That's why it's easier to gossip about somebody than it is to walk in that. If you're gossiping, then you need some healing. Amen. We all need some healing. Because I tell you what, if I gossip about somebody, then next time I see them, I can never see them at a higher level than I gossiped about them at. I just brought them lower. And if I bring Richard lower, I just brought myself lower. And we're made in the image of God. So guess what? We just brought God lower. He's just sitting in the pews, just a dude, just a lady. He's nothing holy if we're doing that. So we're cutting ourselves off. And those are the people, that's the Pharisaical spirit. That's the same spirit that was like, I mean, goodness gracious, Jesus, how many times in the New Testament does he heal people? And they're mad about it. There's a measuring stick. If somebody else next to us gets blessed and we're mad about it, we are in the wrong spirit. We got the spirit of bondage again to fear. Am I going to get it? Am I going to measure up enough so I can be blessed? But the whole time, God has a spirit of adoption for us, a spirit of him choosing us. So I was just another recent one. Do you guys want that story I stopped before? Amen. Yeah, so the story for me, well, I'll tell you the story before that story. Just been on a journey to that my value is not based on my performance. My value is based on his performance, what he did for me. Amen? And again, it's easy to get that in the prefrontal cortex, but it's got to get in our heart. Come on, be nice to your heart. Spend time with the Father. And that's why if you come Sunday morning in prayer, I mean, we're trying a whole new model. I invite all of you to come. The whole purpose is, because the way you are, the way you see yourself, that's the way you lead. That's the way you see others. So it was all another, I love praying in tongues. And we did that today. We said, we started out praying in tongues. But you know what? It's not about how loud and how long and how hard you can pray in tongues. Now we just sit there and allow the Father to love on us. And then we respond to him. Because I cannot love him unless I know that he loved me. The same way, and somebody said this recently, and oh my goodness, it's so true. And it just opens up a door. You guys ready for a door to be open to you? And you got to walk through it, and I got to walk through it. I can't walk you through it. All right? We have some structure at the church that can help with that, but I'm telling you what, walk through it on your own. Be hungry for God. Are there any hungry people for God? Come on. Whatever we want, if we want to see somebody differently, then we need to get that more in our own lives. If I want to see somebody, if I want to have more mercy, then I need to know God's mercy for me. I need to know what he says about me. Hold on a second. He said it way better than that, so I'm just going to look it up. Help me, Jesus. Well, go to verse number two. Let's just keep it at that point. Point number two is what the Father's heart. What we behold in God's heart becomes alive and awake in our own lives. What we behold in God's heart. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And I'm just telling you that I'll save that for later too. Let me tell you my story and then we'll wrap it up. Angel, you can come on up with the play whatever instrument you want to play up here. Because you're talented, brother. But more than that, you're loved. Amen. So I'm in a worship environment, and it's just me and Jesus and a bunch of other people. And I'm worshiping God, and I just, the Spirit of God's moving, and I just said, Father, I said, God, will you be my Father? And when I said that, there was like some brokenness. There was a hole in my heart. I needed a Father. It's just nothing negative about, sometimes the people, it's harder for people who had good parents in the natural realm, in the human realm, to connect with God the Father than it is for people who never had a biological father or were abandoned literally. Do you guys know that? But nonetheless, he's a father to the fatherless, amen? That is not just physically providing or monetarily providing. That is emotional, that is spiritual, and all of a sudden, he just moves in my heart. A few minutes later, I said, God, will you be my Father? And you know what? It's kind of, if it was a tank, it was like this empty, and now it's like this empty. A couple minutes later, I said the same thing. God, will you be my Father? And he fills me up more and more with his love, his identity. It's not intellectual. It was just me and my Father. I'm just telling you something because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He's no respecter of people. So what he did for me there, he didn't do that because I'm a pastor. He didn't do that the same time that he told me I'm for you. He did that because I wanted him to do that because I was ready to receive it, and he'll do the same thing for you right here this morning, tonight, whatever level of healing God wants to bring, whatever fullness God wants to bring to you. And then the last time I said it, maybe five times into it, it was like, oh, I don't need this to ask anymore because he is. He is. He's my daddy. I can cry out, Abba, Father. Can you play Reckless Love, brother? Yeah. Hallelujah. So I just want to close with I was going to tell you that right now. Just kidding. I have no idea. All right, so let's just encounter him. I'll just lead you guys in prayer right now. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus that you are the Father. From whom all Father, the title of Father comes from and derives its name. You are the Father of glory. You are the Father of wisdom. You are the ultimate. And there's a reason that you use that analogy so much. And there's a reason that, Father, I just thank you for the prodigal father. You know, we look at the prodigal son. And we focus on him. And then maybe sometimes we'll touch on the older brother. But you know what? There's a perfect son in that story, and that's Jesus. And there's a perfect father that the story is really about. Really about the father who runs. He doesn't necessarily go chasing him in the bars or wherever, but he does when he sees him coming home. He runs to him. And he puts the robe on him. He does it. I know we receive that as your love because we should. But that's your heart. And we pray this morning, for your heart, Lord God, to contact every single one of us. Anybody in here who's their performance determines their value system, Lord, I pray that you would just touch them in such a way, reveal to them by your spirit, reveal encounters, maybe just speak to their heart, speak to them through somebody else, speak to them through this message. Father, we thank you for the encountering of you. That's done really on a one-on-one basis. We just thank you for a release. We ask, Father, for that. We ask, Father, for wounded hearts to be made whole. For people who are, it's difficult for them to receive love, Father, let there be a healing in their soul, a healing. Father, some people, maybe they haven't been spoken to directly from a father, out of boys, out of girls, whose they are. Speak to them, Lord. Speak to them. Angel's going to sing. But we're not, don't think you have to sing back. Just you spend some time with God. If you guys could get the words up there, that would be really awesome, because that would help so much. Just look at these words too. Before I spoke, you were singing over me. Yes, he was. You have been so, so good to me. Yes, because that's who he is. For I took a breath, you breathed your life to me. You have been so, so kind to me. Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God, which chases. Father, there are people. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah, yeah.
I was your foe, still your love for me. You
would
be so, so
good to me. Kindness of God. So, so kind to me. Delight. Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Deserve it. Give yourself away. Reckless love of God. Hey, yeah. And I'm just going to close right now with just one more prayer, because I want to remind everybody, this is, if you think that, oh, this is, that's cool, but you know, but I'm good, you know, or I don't want to make it all about me. That was a big deal for me. You know, people would come up and prophetically tell me, God wants you to know he loves you. And I knew in my spirit that I needed it, but in my mind I thought, oh no, no, no. I'm a preacher. I'm winning souls. I shouldn't need that. It's like I shamed myself for needing the love of God. And guess what? That doesn't work out well. It's pride. It's not God. So, Father, I pray over this congregation that we would be ready to receive those that you are going after. That we, if we're those one of those 99, then we are so happy that we have a Heavenly Father that goes after that one. We're so happy, Lord God. We desire to be that so whole and so complete. Just like you told that older brother, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. All that you have is mine. That unity, that you can, that we are happy when they are blessed, when they come up to that level, when they're being saved, healed, filled with the Spirit, just on fire to serve you, on fire to be in agreement with you and make an impact in this world, walking with you intimately. And I pray for those to come. We want more of those, Father. And because also we need that to stay vibrant. We need that to stay hungry. We need that. Some of us have become stale because we're not winning souls. We're not telling people about Jesus. And we wonder why we're stagnant in the Lord. We wonder why we're okay with things in our lives or in church services that we weren't used to not be okay with. I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, Pastor Drew. You can correct anything I say wrong, but I'm just telling you, I'm talking to myself. I'm praying over myself and anyone else that would that it applies to. I want to see more souls saved. I want to be on the cutting edge, not because that's my value, but because I am a child of God, and lovers accomplish a lot more than servants. We're more fruitful than those who think they have to serve because they're bondage to slavery. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, thank you. Such a good message for all of us to hear. And whether we think we need it or not, we all need it. We love so imperfectly. Even if you take your best day and the person that you've loved the most, your love is so imperfect compared to the love of God. And so because we love so imperfectly, and that's how we're loved with those around us, we have a tendency to not even be able to comprehend the love of God. But make no mistake that the love of God is exactly what God tells us is in His Word. It's perfect, Father. And this issue, which is all of our issue to some degree, is the one of the greatest. Everything comes from you understanding the love of the Father. Even your own love for Him, if you could comprehend His love, you could so much more love Him through that comprehension. And so this is the thing that the enemy, right from the beginning, how did he put the wedge between Adam and Eve and God? Through questioning the perfectness and the goodness of God's love. And it's exactly what he does to every one of us. Even the most narcissistic person. As a matter of fact, the most narcissistic person probably has a bigger issue than most of us with this truth. That's where a lot of their narcissism comes from. Is that true, Mickey? Thank you for validating that. There you go. But even the one who seems on the outside like they have it the most together is probably the one who struggles with it the most. So there's none of us who are exempt from this tactic of the enemy because, listen, if you're dealing with anything in your life, the greatest way to get on the other side of it is to just fall in love with God instead of trying to deal with the thing and the do's and the don'ts. You know how you're going to get on the other side of it? Just fall in love with God and understand how much he loves. Receive. You know how we fall in love with him by receiving that we're love worthy ourselves. And because we trip on that, which quite frankly, I think I'll say it. It's just a sin to not believe God, to take God at his word. He said it. It's true. And rather than comprehend it, just receive it and don't sin. Believe it. Believe that the God that you serve, the God that you love, the God that you call your God, that he just really is that good. That he takes painstaking time to communicate our value in the word with details that you can't miss. You can't read them and miss them. How great he is saying his your value is to him. You won't meet anyone. Again, the one that you love the most, the one who's loved you the most in your life, whoever that is, it can't even compare to the pictures that God paints for us with his words to say to us, Richard, my thoughts for you are greater than the grains of sand on the earth. Holy Toledo. I mean, can someone comprehend that? That's how much you think about me, God? That's crazy love, right? Every time you hurt, Drew, every time you hurt, I catch those tears in a bottle. Steve. I want you to know you are the apple of my eye. Amen. Who can help me with some more? Because they're all over the Word of God.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us to be called the children of God.
Oh, what about that? What about the fact that he calls us sons and daughters? What about the positioning that he gives us to rule and reign with him?
Yes. That's right.
We are the Father's delight.
All my delight.
And that all his delight. I'm telling you, if we would just spend a little bit more time on the sin that we walk in, that we can't just receive the Father's love. Because if we could just receive it, if we could put that one to bed and just go, I'm not worthy, but it's awesome. You know what I mean? I know I'm not worthy, but it doesn't change the fact that he chose me. I know I don't deserve it. But he loves me anyway. If we could just grasp the phenomenal love that he has for us, everything about us would change. We would change anything that we're stumbling with. You know what? We could put it to rest. You know what? Anyone that we encounter, we couldn't help but just love them more. That they would know that they had encountered someone very, very different. Something very, very special as they come into contact with those who truly understand that we are the Father's delight. Awesome. Great word. You know what? Thanks for bringing it. Let's all be sure that we don't just hear it, that let's become doers of receiving the Father's love for us. Wild as it is, incomprehensible as it is, it is. So, you know what? Let's work on doing that, and it will just radically change who we are. And it'll be, believe me, and that radically changes everyone that we encounter. And that really is the process of what the Father has in mind. And so he does to us, the enemy, exactly same old tricks, same old stuff. And this one was his number one trick out of his bag. To, when we don't understand the love like that, then we end up hiding ourselves from God. Afraid of God. And God doesn't miss any of it. And that, you want to talk about a feather in someone's cap. Many times, what is this about me? I don't know. Here's this truth, though. I many times will be able to walk something out just because I understand the rivalry between Satan and God, and I will not line up with Satan against God. Does that make sense? So you are the greatest prize to God. And every time the enemy can pull one over your eyes, and this is jugular because so much is attached to it, just that alone ought to just help us just go, whoa. You know what I mean? Even though it's hard, I for sure am not listening to that one. You know what I mean? I for sure will not align myself with the enemy against you, God, that he would have the victory of putting a wedge between me and you. Who can let him do that? Only us. How helpless is God to have the most precious thing, I don't mean to call us things, but you understand that. Our relationship with him is one of the most precious things to him. It's all that matters. And we allow the enemy to wedge us away from God and to be afraid of him of all things. And to doubt him and to question his goodness for us. I'm not lining up on that team. You know what I'm saying? I want to say, you know what, God, help me understand. Amen.